shall read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is 1 Samuel, verses 18 through 20. The recitation will be verses 1 through 9. Once again, the recitation is verses 1 through 9. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in with spirits, and he loved him as himself. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Whatever mission Saul went on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with timbrels and lyres. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. "They have credited David with tens of thousands," he thought, "but me only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom?" And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to worship you again today. Dear Jesus, we know that at times we can be like Saul and hate other people or have strong desires of evil toward others. But even those times, Lord, we know that you are with us and that you also provide us with encouragement, and we are well aware of this. Lord, we ask that through the message we're about to hear today, we can be like Jonathan and be willing to give everything to you. And in this way, we can be able to reach many people for Christ. Please watch over Pastor Joey as he speaks today. We put everything before you, pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're looking at 1 Samuel and looking at the chapters 18 through 20, so it's kind of a broad range, looking once again at the life of David. In the 1950s, in the Soviet Union, there was a person by the name of Stalin, the ruler, and he was a very terrible person, and is responsible for the massacre of many, many people, 20 million. It's said that that number actually is 20 million people. And when he was ruling, there was a close person to him by the name of Nikita Khrushchev. And after Stalin died, he was released. Nikita was released, and he went to the U.S. And he went to, when he was in Washington, there was a press conference. While he was there, he was able to tell just how terrible Stalin had been. And the press there asked him various questions. And one of the people asked him the following question. He said, "Today, you were able to tell us just how terrible Stalin was. So why is it that when you were with him, you know, in Soviet Union, why isn't that you were right there with him and you didn't tell Stalin to stop what he was doing? Don't you also have a responsibility?" So that was the question. And his face just became really red, and he became really angry, it seemed. And he said in a loud voice, he said, "Who is it that asked me that question?" And it was silent. It was absolutely silent. And then he opened his mouth again. He said, "Who? Who is it that asked this question?" And it was just silent. Nobody was able to take responsibility. And then he calmed down and he said, when I was with Stalin, I was so scared, just as you were when I reacted like this, that I wasn't able to say anything. So when you were so scared, he was so scared, he wasn't able to stand up against Stalin as well. At times for us, there may be circumstances where we are very scared of something. And even though we know that the person or the circumstances are not good around us, we're not able to stand up and voice our opinions. And this is exactly what the kind of situation David was in today's passage. Looking at David's life, and especially looking at the background of it, we may remember that he was the first person set up as the king of Israel was Saul. At first he was great, but then he started to not obey God. And to replace him, David was chosen. He was still young, though, so that he actually didn't become king at the time he was selected. Even though Saul had been replaced by David, technically he was still on the throne. And then there was the battle of David and Goliath, you remember. David was able to gain victory over Goliath. And because of that, Saul was very interested in David. And so he had him near him and actually sent David out to various other battles in light of that. Today's passage, we are looking at the theme of the Lord who sends Jonathan to you, and we have two main points today. The first point is about Saul's jealousy. David took out Goliath and then was with fighting for Saul and gained victory time and time again. However, after a period of time, David was sent to Israel, and there was a problem that occurred. When David was there, the people started saying in chapter 18, verse 7, that Saul has slain thousands and David has tens of thousands. So, you know, in those days, it would have had a melody to it and would have been an actual song. And it would have been like first on the charts. I mean, it was like the popular song at that time. I mean, this song was known even to the king of the next kingdom over. That's how popular it was. And if you look at the content of the words, it's not actually telling anything bad about Saul. It's saying Saul is great, but David is greater. And so it's actually lifting both of them up. But when Saul heard this, he got really angry about it. And how did he respond? Well, it says in verse 8 that he was very angry because this refrain displeased him greatly. And they said they've credited David with tens of thousands, but he thought, only me, thousands. Even though Saul technically wasn't going to be king any longer anyway, but David was still very young, a young boy, and so he was really angry that this young boy was taking over his position. To get angry at somebody and to be angry with them, that's something that actually takes joy out of our hearts. And Saul's problem was that he didn't respect God's opinion of him first, but rather he respected other people's opinion of him over God's. And so because of that, he became even more and more jealous and angry. And then he finally tries to take David's life. First of all, he threw two spears at David when David was playing the harp, and David was able to escape. Then Saul came with this plan to put David on the battlefield and send people out so that that would happen. He figured that he would easily die on the battlefield. However, David actually was able to gain victory. But Saul was just determined to have David killed on the battlefield, so he kept trying to think of ways to get him out there. So he said that he would promise his daughter Merib to David in marriage if he went to the battlefield. But this was actually a strange promise, because if you think of it, when David took out Goliath, he was already promised that he would receive a daughter in marriage. And David actually already had this privilege. However, David didn't really take any action on this, and so Saul had him sent out to the battlefield, and he was victorious again. Then Saul promised David his second daughter, Michal, who also was promised in marriage, and as the other daughter was given to someone else. And so David was sent again to the battlefield. But then again, David was very victorious. Saul realized that there was nothing else he could do, and did give Michal to David as his wife. And it was just tossing him around like a top. Saul was very jealous, and he realized that all the people and even his daughter loved David, and he became very, very angry. Saul's anger was something that was actually not even valid against David, because David hadn't done anything wrong to Saul. When Saul was in a bad mood, David would actually go to calm him down by playing the harp. And David actually helped Israel by fighting on their behalf. And so it really didn't even make sense that Saul would be after David's life for being good to him. But Saul was very angry and jealous. In our lives, there are also circumstances where we may feel such similar feelings. And there may be people here who have experienced things similar to Saul's hatred, maybe with family members or friends or at school or other parents or so on. There may be people who are jealous of your abilities and actually speak false things against you and spread rumors. Saul is actually one of the examples of a difficult circumstance in our life. There may be things that we face in our lives that we just really don't understand what's going on. Losing jobs, getting sick, and so on. There may be various disasters or accidents that happen as well. And going through these things, our faith can be tried or tested. We may wonder, well, if I'm in this difficult situation, then where in the world is God? What is true is that God will use someone like Jonathan is used in our lives as well. The second point is about the friendship with Jonathan. David and Jonathan were friends, and this began after Goliath was taken out by David. Looking at verse 1, it says, "After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan came one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself." Here, you may wonder one thing. You may wonder why Jonathan, even though he was there, didn't fight against Goliath. Jonathan actually would have been an ideal candidate to go against Goliath because he was strong in his faith. And it explains earlier in the Bible how he had good fighting skills. So why is it that Jonathan didn't go up against Goliath? It doesn't say, so we don't know. But there's a few different theories of this. First of all, that Saul may have stopped him from doing that. He didn't want Jonathan to die, and so it's possible Saul could have stopped him from doing that. It's also possible that he didn't want Jonathan gaining more victory than he already had, because in verse chapter 14, it already mentions that he was concerned that he was so successful. Also, it's possible that Jonathan was just scared of Goliath. In those days, going against the Goliath and losing would mean that the loser would be enslaved to the winner, Goliath's Philistine group. And so because the responsibility was so big, it's possible that Jonathan would have not taken up the offer. But at that time, that's when the hero stepped forward. It was a shepherd boy who, with his faith, was able to gain victory over Goliath. And that is something that was actually an ideal, an example of somebody strong in faith, and that's possibly why Jonathan really was attracted to him. He made a covenant with him in light of this. And that's in verse 3. It says, "And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt." You can see how Jonathan gave all that he had to David. In those days, giving something such as weapons to another person would indicate a covenant. And what they were forming here was a friendship covenant. Jonathan gave his clothing and his weapons to David. And that was showing also just how much he respected him. Why is it that Jonathan was not jealous of David as his father? It's because he realized David was seeing this from a larger perspective. He knew that David would be a good leader of Israel. Thereafter, Jonathan realized that his father was going after David's life, and he helped David. He actually wasn't able to try to persuade Saul otherwise, and so he actually had David come to him again and made not only a friendship covenant but another one as well. And that is in chapter 20, verse 15. And it says to not never cut off the kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. In those days, if someone who had become a new lord, then the previous king's whole family would be killed off. But that's not what was conveyed here. Rather, that they were promising to protect the old king's family. So it was not just a covenant of friendship, but also a covenant of protecting the family in the future. Saul was trying to kill David. And to have Jonathan in David's life was actually something that would have been a great benefit to him. In our lives as well, there may be times when we're facing very difficult situations, and God sends someone in, like Jonathan, in our lives to assist us. So thinking about this, we can see this could be a friend in faith. Having a friend like Jonathan in such circumstances would be a huge blessing. Around the world, there's all different kinds of universities and other research institutions doing research on the concept of friendship. And they've found that anyone who has a strong friend really has a good perspective in life. And if there are three strong friendships in a workplace, then and that actually improves the people's work ethic and work ability. To have close friends is something that is truly a blessing. And for us Christians, to have a Christian friend is also something very special. The reason why is that God is in that relationship, and even though we are weak, we can pray for each other's weaknesses and be connected in a very deep way. If the case is that you do have a friendship in faith, then that will be something that is truly a blessing. When you are facing a difficult circumstance, God can use this Jonathan in your life. There is a woman who at one time said that her non-Christian husband had come down with cancer, and what helped her in her dark days was actually a church member. The members of the church would actually go to her husband and pray with him and help support her as well in her life. They would cry with her and also encourage her as well. After a half year, her husband was baptized in the hospital and passed away. Looking back over that whole year, she said the following. She said, suddenly everything in front of me was just like darkness. However, the church members and their love showed me how God really loved me. And I really had a strong conviction of this and never doubted it. God used these church members as Jonathans to help support this woman in her difficult times and her family as well. As for us, we may have a Jonathan in our life. And of course, one of these Jonathans is Jesus Christ himself. In today's passage, David was going to become king. And we can also see that and remember that Jesus is the true king. Looking at Jonathan, we can see how there are other examples that relate to the story of Jesus Christ. We see how there was a friendship, a covenant that was provided to David. In the same way, Jesus provides us with a covenant and faith. In Luke 22, verses 19 and 20, it says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" Today, actually, we will have communion. Communion is an opportunity for us to remember what happened on the cross. Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, gave his life for our sin on the cross, died, and was buried. After 3 days, he was resurrected and provides an opportunity to us to be saved and to have a renewed relationship with God. And that is a true form of grace. In today's passage, we see how Jonathan gave weapons to David and enabled him to stand up against Saul. Jesus, or God, has also given us weapons. In looking in Ephesians 6:11 and then verses 14 through 17, it says the following: "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." With such weapons, and knowing that Jesus is with us, we can stand up to souls in our lives. Jonathan protected David, and in the same way, God is with us. He promises this. In Matthew 28:20, it says, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." I would like to close with one other testimony story. It's the testimony of a 5-year-old girl by the name of Mary. Mary actually came down with a stroke and became a paraplegic, and there was possibility she had a brain tumor, so she was taken to the hospital. While she was in the hospital, her parents actually died, and so she was now an orphan in a hospital. There was a time when Mary was going to go in for an MRI. When you do an MRI, you have to go in this enclosed space and you can't move at all, because if you move at all, then the pictures won't come out clearly. For a 5-year-old girl, this was extremely difficult, probably. And just as expected, she went into this equipment, and after two minutes, we could see that her mouth was moving. And so the staff told her, or stopped the MRI and told her, "Mary, please don't talk when you're in the, MRI. Can you promise you won't talk?" And she's like, yeah, I won't talk. And so they put her back into the equipment. But after a while, they could see that her mouth was moving again. And so the staff was getting upset with her, and they pulled her out and they said, "Mary, we told you that you couldn't talk. You promised, right?" And Mary said, I have not been talking. You told me not to talk, so I haven't been talking. I've been singing. It's pretty cute, huh? So the staff was like laughing, and they're like, oh, okay. Well, then what is it that you were singing? And then Mary replied by saying, Jesus loves me. She said, I was singing that because when I get anxious about something, I always sing this song. And I remember that Jesus is always with me. For Mary, she was experiencing very difficult circumstances. She lost her parents, and she was physically having difficulties in the same way. We can see that Saul was, in a sense, causing difficulties in her life, but there was Jesus Christ in the form of Jonathan, in a sense, that was providing her with encouragement and peace. We can remember that today, as Mary did when she was 5 years old. In our lives, there are different circumstances that may be like Saul's, but in those times, we can receive encouragement from this passage to know that God will always provide a Jonathan to us, and that may be a spirit friend in faith or Jesus Christ himself. I would like to read one more passage from the words of Jesus Christ, Jonathan 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Someone who is even more righteous and close to us than a human friend is Jesus Christ. We can remember that and learn that from today's passage that we looked at Jonathan and David. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today we've looked at David and Jonathan's covenant and friendship, and we realize that sometimes in our lives there may be very difficult circumstances and painful circumstances we face. And there may be souls that are trying to take the joy out of our lives. However, in such times, we can remember, God, that you will send a Jonathan to us to assist us. And that may be a friend in faith or possibly Jesus Christ himself. We know that one with more righteousness and love than a human friend is Jesus Christ. And he can provide guidance to us in our lives. Regardless of the difficulties we may face, we know that you will provide encouragement and strength to us. We can learn that from today's passage. We ask that in this coming week, Lord, that you will be with us and that we can experience your grace. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please let me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now this coming week, upon each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen. We have a few